For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website, and find more on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you.
So catch us up on the latest numbers in North Carolina. I know that Supreme Court race is the closest one, but we've also kind of been tentatively watching the attorney general's race, which was super close after election night. Other races were also close, but not quite as close as those two. So where do things stand now?
Well, the Chief Justice one is definitely where the action is. On election night, the Republican candidate, Paul Newby, had about a 3,000 vote lead. And as more ballots have gotten counted across the state in the last 10 or 9 days, that's now down to an 825 vote lead. To put that into percentage terms, Newby has 50.01% and Beasley has 49.99%. So it doesn't get a whole lot closer than that. And the reason it's been getting closer is that the extra votes that are getting counted are mail ballots, and certainly mail ballots are where Democrats did the best. They don't have to worry about any more, for instance, Election Day votes getting counted, which were quite bad for Democrats. And some counties have continued counting ballots over the last 9 days, and some are just waiting till the end, and then they're going to count all the extra ones at once. Something that I think probably bodes pretty well for Sherry Beasley is that both Durham County and Guilford County have not added any new ballots since Election Day. So those are both populous counties where whatever comes in is likely to be overwhelmingly Democratic. It's hard to say how many more ballots are going to come in from those specific places, but those are a couple of places where potentially she could make up this last 825 votes just with those two counties. Should be noted, though, that Wake County, Mecklenburg County, Orange County, other strong Democratic counties have added new ballots that have come in since last Tuesday. So she's not going to be getting that big boost everywhere. But so far, she's cut 2,000 votes off the lead.
I was going to ask, do we have any sense of how many ballots remain to be counted? I know it was kind of like a maximum of about 150,000, but those included provisional ballots that weren't ultimately going to be counted, and absentee ballots that were still outstanding but probably not going to be returned. So it was definitely going to be less than that. But do we know how many remain?
We don't know, no, because they still haven't released real specific numbers on how many absentee ballots there are that did not end up coming in to vote on Election Day itself, which would remove them from the potential absentee count.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that we have a maximum of maybe 40 to 50,000 more votes to be counted, and that includes both late arriving mail ballots and provisional ballots. And so this interesting thing about provisional ballots this year, I believe 40,000 of them exist, and usually about half of them get counted. So that may only be another 20, 25,000 votes or so. But usually we think of provisional ballots as something that very much worked to Democrats' benefit. And so I think that if we were in a situation where a normal situation where we had these mail ballots still coming in that were likely to be good for Democrats, and we had these provisional ballots to be counted that were likely going to be good for Democrats, we could probably be pretty confident that Sherry Beasley was going to end up retaking the lead in this race. But because Republicans so disproportionately showed up to vote on Election Day this year, it may be that those provisional ballots are neutral in terms of which party they benefit, or they may even upend the historical trend and be good for Republicans this year. So those are sort of a wild card. But then the other thing worth mentioning about the mail ballots is that even when Republican counties have updated over the last week, more often than not, it's been to Sherry Beasley's benefit, even in those Republican counties, because the people who voted by mail were so disproportionately Democratic. So we're going to have a much better idea of what's going on and who our next state Supreme Court Chief Justice is going to be probably by about this time tomorrow or end of the day tomorrow. If you ask me to make a prediction, I would predict based on what's still out there that she probably does make up that last 825 votes and get the lead back. But we're certainly going to be headed, I think, for recount territory. You could easily end up with a situation where one of the candidates is up by fewer than 500 votes out of 5.5 million cast. So you don't see too many elections get closer than that.
Yeah, recount for sure either way. Speaking with Tom Jensen, and we've been talking about the state Supreme Court race mostly, but what about state legislative races? Are there still any that are outstanding there?
I don't think there's any state legislative races where the result could change from election night. And then the other race statewide that people are really paying attention to is the attorney general's race. I already thought that Josh Stein was up by too much for it to change based on where he was on election night. He had about a 10,000 vote lead. And just as the late arriving ballots have helped Sherry Beasley for Chief Justice, they've also helped Josh Stein to the point where his lead is now up to more like 13,000 votes. And I would expect that to continue to increase. So I think really the only major statewide race that we're not going to have a pretty clear picture on by the end of tomorrow is that Chief Justice race.
So going from North Carolina to the nation as a whole, where do things stand in the presidential race with those just a handful of states still counting votes, but recounts in others? What are you looking at? What are you seeing?
Well, just to sort of circle back on the states that we discussed the most last Thursday, which seemed kind of up in the air at that point, which were Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. We said that in the end, Pennsylvania would not be that close, and that is proving to be the case. Biden's lead there is now up over 50,000 votes, and it just continues to increase. So it's going to turn out at the end of the day that certainly Pennsylvania was closer than polls expected, but it's not going to end up being that close. One state that was still kind of up in the air last Thursday that percentage-wise really isn't going to end up being very close is Nevada. On election night, Joe Biden was only up by about 8,000 votes. But as more late arriving mail ballots have come in, or maybe not late arriving, but late to be counted mail ballots have come in, Biden's lead there has gone up to 30,000 to 40,000 votes, which is almost a 3-point win. So not a lot of suspense there. Arizona has just gotten closer and closer and closer. I think that Fox News definitely jumped the gun by calling it on election night. I think last I saw, Joe Biden's lead was all the way down to 12,000 votes. There's not enough left for Trump to come back and win. But it definitely ended up, I think, a lot closer than the people who called it only an hour after the polls closed thought it was going to end up. And then the other one that is still close, but maybe not as close as we might have thought it would be, is Georgia. I think when we last talked, Trump was up by about 9,000 votes, and now Biden's up by 14,000 votes. And they're having a full hand recount in Georgia, but usually it's unlikely for a recount to move the vote totals by more than about 1,000 votes, much less for it to move it by 14,000 votes. So it's going to turn out that Biden won Georgia and that certainly it was close, but it's going to end up not having been that close.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and with that, we can start to move past the election day 2020 election, but we've got some more runoff races that are going to be really significant coming up just around the corner, both of them in Georgia for the U.S. Senate and ultimately for control of the U.S. Senate if both of those races are won by the Democrats. So where do things stand there?
Well, it's interesting. You would think that the two runoff races would start out in about the same place, but we actually find that one of them for now is looking more competitive than the other one. In the race between John Ossoff, the Democrat, and Kelly Loeffler, the Republican, there is a very nasty – sorry, I mixed that up. In the race between Reverend Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, and Kelly Loeffler, the Republican, the race to determine which Republican made it to the general election between Loeffler and Congressman Doug Collins was very nasty, and it sort of left a lot of bad feelings. So we're finding that that runoff race starts out tied between Warnock and Loeffler. The other one between John Ossoff and the Republican incumbent David Perdue has a 5-point lead starting out the runoff period. And what's interesting is that most of the undecideds between Warnock and Loeffler are voting for Perdue over Ossoff. but they're saying that they're undecided, most likely because they were supporters of Doug Collins who are mad he didn't make it through to the general election. So for now, they're hesitating to say that they'll vote for Kelly Loeffler, but I think at the end of the day, they will. So I think the Republicans are at least somewhat favored in both of those Georgia runoffs, and that very much goes along with historical precedent of these runoff elections in the state. In 2008, there was a Senate runoff, and in the first round, the Republican won by 4, and then in the runoff election, the Republican won by 14. There was a 10-point movement to the Republicans from the first round to the second round. More recently, there was a runoff 2 years ago for Secretary of State, who's been in the news in Georgia for all sorts of bizarre reasons this week. But he won the first round of voting in 2018 by 1 point. He won the runoff by 4 points. So he did 3 points better in the runoff. So this is generally what happens in Georgia, is that Republicans do better in the runoffs than they did in the first round of voting. That's a pretty overwhelming historical trend. There, I do not think, is a path for Democrats to win by convincing anybody who voted for Trump to vote for their Senate candidates in the runoff. That's just not going to happen. So I think that if there is a path for Democrats to win, it's going to be swamping Republicans on turnout. You know, it's going to be getting 90% of Biden's voters back out and only 80% of Trump's voters come back out. That is how Democrats win the Georgia runoffs. And there is no historical precedent for that ever happening. It's usually more the other way around, where the Republicans do a better job of getting their people to vote a second time than the Democrats do. But what in 2020, well, this will be 2021, but what about anything in American politics over recent history has been precedented? So I certainly don't shut the door to the possibility that Democrats will be so motivated, and maybe Republicans will be so depressed about Trump losing, that Democrats do end up having the turnout advantage that lets them win those races.
Step one, clone Stacey Abrams. Step three, profit.
Basically.
I'll find more information and numbers from around the state and the country online at publicpolicypolling.com. More news and analysis also on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.